logo I have there is a logo actually used by the Pan American School of Medicine in Havana, Cuba. And I wanted to begin by giving you a little bit of the timeline and the history and how the school was begun. Although the presentation in general is going to talk about and get into issues about social accountability and medical education. The Latin American School of Medicine opened in Havana, Cuba in 1999, and this is as a result of different hurricanes that had been affecting Latin America, specifically Nicaragua, Honduras, and Cuba. Whenever the countries have any kind of impact of this nature, they respond with disaster relief help. One of the things that Cuba does is that it sends their doctors to each one of these countries to assist for free in this process. Now, eventually, after doing this in different countries, Fidel realized that it might be more cost-effective and more of a long-term impact in the healthcare system of the world if he instead opened a medical school that would train doctors from those specific and particular countries and then train them in Cuba with a Cuban model, with a Cuban ideology, and then take them back to those countries to help out in those particular communities that those students came from. Thus, in 1999, the school opens. Now, what happens is that in 2000, there's a congressman from Mississippi who is in a talk that Fidel is giving in the United States, and he asks Fidel about the situation in his particular region. He's from the Mississippi Delta, and he was in a situation at that time where there were not enough doctors to give and provide health care in that region of the United States. So he poses a question to Fidel, and he says, well, what do you offer me? You know, you're a leader. What kind of offer do you have for me? What do you suggest? And Fidel responds by saying, well, I just opened the Latin American School of Medicine, and I have students there from all over Latin America. We have people from Nigeria, other parts of Africa. Why not include the Americans? So he offered 500 scholarships for American students to go to Cuba and get a medical degree. In 2001, the first group of U.S. students in Havana goes to Cuba. This was sponsored by Pastors for Peace, or IFCO, is an interreligious organization that does a lot of work with Cuba. Also, the Black Caucus was involved as well in recruiting students and organizing the whole process. In 2005, the first U.S. student graduates from ELAM, which is the way the school is referred to in Spanish for Escuela Latinoamericana de Medicina. And in this school, he graduates. That was in 2005. And this year, he's actually, just to give you a little update, he's now in a residency program in Montefiore Hospital in New York City. Now, the reason he graduated in 2005, if you're doing the math, is because he's actually one of he was someone that had been in medical school here in the United States, had done his step one exam, had been almost, he only needed one more year to study, and decides to go to Cuba, to this program, to finish the program and go through this experience. And thus, he enters the school in the third year only to do his clinical studies. So he did 4 years in the medical school and graduates in 2005. And then in 2007, specifically July 24th, a date I will definitely remember, eight of us graduated, and this the eight of us were the first group to graduate that actually had been in the medical school for the entire 6 years. And then currently in the school, we have approximately 100 students within different grades, first through sixth years of medical school. There's a map there it's a picture, but it shows you more or less how big the campus is. Now, to give you a couple of curriculum backgrounds so you can understand better the way the school works, it's a six-year program. 2 years that are basic sciences like any other medical school, 4 years that include clinical rotations. Now, some students, if they do not have a pre-medical training background, they can have an intensive course prior to that, which is a six-month program. If they need Spanish classes, because instruction is in Spanish, then they can do an intensive Spanish course, which could be 6 months or it could be a year. Now, the sixth year of this clinical rotation is actually an internship, which is an important thing to understand, because then the student has more of a responsibility at that level, and you get much more experience, you work on call, you're on duty with the doctors, and usually internships here in the States are the first year of your residency program. And then the degree is a degree in MHAE, General Integral Medicine, which would be the equivalent of a family medicine degree here in the United States. Now, when we talk about social accountability and we talk about it in the Cuban medical school system, it's important to understand that they do this at different levels. You know, it starts all the way from the very objective to the program, the courses, the class projects that the student does in the actual medical school, the way they do hands-on approaches in the university, the way that students have organizations, opportunity for extracurricular activities, volunteer projects, and also when there are specific epidemics or situations that are important in the healthcare of the country. When we talk about the objective of the program, the first thing is recruitment. If the mission of the school is one where they're trying to train students from backgrounds and countries where perhaps are rural areas where they're not particular doctors, or areas where you have people that are perhaps, there are some doctors, but only for those that have the economic resources to go to them, then you're already basing a model that is already looking at things with certain social accountability before you enter the program. The application process in itself is a way for you to do an interview. Like if you know, it's a process like any other college and institution. You have to do essays, you have to show your transcript, you have to go for an interview. And in this process, the school and the student is getting to know what the ideology of the school is. And the expectation after graduation depends per country. Some countries have to do social service of a year, some do it of 2 years, some don't have any, like is the case for those of us in the United States. But the general expectation is not an economic expectation like some people think. It's not that we have to pay Cuba back, but the way we pay Cuba back is by having the commitment that we're going to give back to those communities we came from or to any community that is underserved. Now, the courses that we have focus on, of course, all the science core curriculum courses any medical school would have, but the interesting things is that you are allowed to have elective courses that can enrich your program, that can allow you to do work in the communities and work on preventive care. You also have core courses that allow you and are something that every student must take that go over the history of medicine, that go over disaster medicine, allowing you to really have an understanding not only of medicine, but of issues that are going on around the world that affect Cuba, the world, and the country that you're coming from. So, for example, in this disaster medicine course, which you actually have to take in fourth year and in fifth year of the career, the idea is to do a class project that actually allows the students to work in groups and allows you to focus on a disaster that has occurred particularly and more interestingly in the country that the group of students or one of the group of students is from. And thus allowing you to do a case study, an analysis of that disaster, and then look into solutions or ways that the medical doctor can play a role and benefit the community in a case of a disaster. In my particular case, what I did is that I did the first disaster I worked on in the first course was actually on September 11th. And it was a very interesting experience because it allowed me to look at the medical repercussions that September 11th had in New York City at the World Trade Center on the medical workers, on the people that were present there that day. And what was more amazing is that eventually, years down the line, I really had the incredible opportunity as a student to get to meet some of those rescue workers and be there when some of them were asked, were actually invited to Cuba as part of Michael Moore's documentary to go and see, and see Cuban doctors and have access to health care. So here I am years later, you know, after talking and being concerned and doing certain, you know, organization around issues of health care after September 11th, and here I am years later, you know, translating for like Michael Moore for these patients, and here's a rescue worker telling me how he had asthma, never having suffered from asthma before. He had asthma like a few, you know, literally a week. He had an asthma crisis a week after the disaster occurred. So here, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, you really, it's amazing how some of the things that you do in a class project can eventually really have an impact in life or just be part of something important that you can do in this world. Another thing is that as part of the public health courses, and you know, this is a public health conference, it's interesting how Cubans incorporate a lot of epidemiology work, a lot of community health projects. And so one of the things that we're expected to do is to do a certain community analysis. Cuba has 220 patients per doctor, per community doctor. This is usually a doctor and a nurse that provide healthcare for about 220 people in the community, in each community. And so therefore, one of the things that we're expected to do is to analyze all these different, you know, health statistics, to look at the health issues, environmental issues in a particular community. And each one of us in different communities are doing this same kind of work, and then we have to present it back to our students, to our professors, and then take health action based on some of the work that in the research that we do in that particular community. Now, I mentioned earlier the hands-on approach, and that's important because from the very beginning, you start doing things. For example, the first year that you enter the educational program in Cuba, you start going immediately into the consultorios, is what they call it, or the community health clinics. The second year, you rotate again during a whole semester in the clinics, and then, of course, you have your 4 years of clinical training. So what ends up happening is that from the very beginning, from the very first year until the sixth year when you're doing your internship, you're continuously getting exposed to hands-on work, to work in the community, to prevention, and you're continuously looking at what does your community need and what do you provide for your community. Then when you think about the school as a whole and as an entity, you realize that there are different organizations and ways for you to work. For example, there's an organization called FEES, which is an organization that brings health to communities around the world. And the way it's organized, again, Cuba really takes advantage of the fact that so many of us are there from different countries. And what it does is that it promotes for students from different countries to do projects, community-based projects, that are then carried on in those particular countries. So during the summer vacation, you have students, for example, from Guatemala that go back and provide healthcare service for people in the mountains of Guatemala that don't have healthcare access. And Cuba helps and supports this process with the students and with the support of the Cuban doctors that are doing work in those particular countries. In this case, let's say, for example, Guatemala. In Dominican Republic, similar situations go on. And some of us from the States, considering that we have a different system and a different setup, we've been able to do like blood pressure screenings in some of our communities in Brooklyn as a way to bring some of this healthcare access and some of this, different idea of community medicine into New York City. And of course, this is done as an outside of, as an organization in the school that does work outside of the school, but in your elective courses, there are opportunities for you to carry on these projects as well. In the disaster case study, for example, that I did, it was something that came out of a class, but eventually became part of a volunteer thing because I took it to a scientific presentation, and there I was able to kind of take it to an academic level. So here I am taking that thread of something that I did as a class project, then all of a sudden I'm involved in seeing some of this thing come to life, and at the same time I'm academically kind of, you know, seeing how these things are implemented in curriculum. I'm discussing with other students, we're looking at it also from a more academic perspective. And interestingly enough, later on down the road, a group of American doctors went to visit Cuba to look at disaster medicine. And interestingly enough, they invited me to speak to the group because I had presented the work on Katrina the year it all happened, actually a few months later. So it's interesting how a group of Americans are coming. They're disaster doctors. We want to have something about disaster medicine. Oh, great, let's bring an American student to talk to them about it. She happened to do a presentation. And so continuously, our work is continuously being connected to the real world. And again, all those analysis of community health are something that we continuously do every semester. I also wanted to take a minute to talk about the epidemic, the dengue epidemic that occurred in Cuba, because it relates a lot to the idea of social accountability. We're students there that are actually trying to, learn about Cuba. We're getting trained to be doctors. But when the epidemic hit, our curriculum was altered to make sure that we had time to be in the hospital providing services to our particular community. So we were there with the doctors, and since especially those of us that were in our last year, we were there doing 24-hour emergency care while helping other students that were actually helping us with the examinations with patients, and then in turn helping doctors. And then you think of opportunities like students that have graduated, and Luther, who you can see in the movie Salud, which Medic has in the Medic booth here, available for sale. The money for that movie, which is $30, goes back into this community. And this project in this community was from a student that graduated from my school. He's from Honduras. Realized there wasn't a clinic and there was no healthcare access in a community, a poor community in Honduras. And so he built one with the help of Medic, with the help of different people. And he's putting it together. And then the doctors from Honduras, from those communities, are going back to offer healthcare services to that clinic. So just quickly, I'm running out of time, but I want to, I'm almost done, just want to let you know that a little bit about the background on the healthcare system in Cuba so you have a better understanding of why they're and how they're able to do this. And that is they focus on a kind of a three-care system that the primary care is really focused on the family and the community doctors that I mentioned earlier. The secondary care is more at the level of the clinics. They have clinics that provide, you know, different lab results, that run lab tests, that have doctors, that have, like, you know, traditional and untraditional and, you know, alternative ways of medicine, you know, acupuncture, different Asian techniques in medicine. And so this is a way that they kind of allow a patient to go for a different kind of care if they need it. They also have an emergency care service there. And then you have the tertiary care, which is more of the hospitals, the specialty areas. And this is where people usually tend to be admitted for longer periods of time. And the hospitals are specialized according to the need of, you know, pediatrics, general medicine. And they're all in areas so that there's a lot of them in different places where different parts of the population can have access to them. So Cuba's basis when it comes to healthcare is pretty much what they call promotion, prevention, and treatment, which promotion means education. Prevention, because that's actually kind of the way they deal a lot with chronic disease, which, you know, Dabney mentioned earlier on, and I think that would be the key to the healthcare system truly at its best. Treatment, but also ideas of community, ideas of equity, and having access to all its citizens, as well as international people. If you go there and you happen to have a heart attack, which actually happened to a friend of mine, the person ended up needing immediate care in the emergency room. And he got all the services, was admitted. Luckily, it was in my hospital, so I was able to take care of my friend's friend who was visiting from New York City to Cuba, happened to have a heart attack, and he got his health care taken care of for free. And, of course, the idea of international work. Cuba has doctors all over the world providing healthcare service from Pakistan all the way, you know, to Latin America, Africa, and they even wanted to provide it for during the time of Hurricane Katrina, but, you know, some of us might have remembered that, unfortunately, that wasn't able to happen due to politics. So just to conclude, I think we need to remember that the Cuba model is one that really is important because it shows that social accountability is something that's what the Cuba's medical education system is really based on. For us as foreigners, it was like a way for us to look into this system that looks at health in such a holistic way, when in reality for the Cuban the Cuban regular citizen, this is just the way of life. It's something very normal, and I think there's a lot there for us to learn from. The other thing is that the Latin American School of Medicine's mission is really to train doctors that will be socially accountable in each one of our countries and in the communities that we go back to. And this is something that I think most of us knew when we entered the medical school. So in reality, we're looking forward to doing this, you know, and Cuba really trains physicians to be accountable not only for their particular community or their particular country, but also globally. And I think that's the exciting thing of being in a school where you graduate with people from all over the world, because we're really developing friendships and allies really all over the world. I mean, if one of you tells me that you're going to, I don't know, Chile tomorrow, I could get you in contact with a doctor there that can provide you assistance if you really needed it. And that's something really wonderful, that you can really feel comfortable when it comes to visiting other places and having healthcare and just having the kind of contact. And then lastly, of course, that as graduates, we're really committed to health, we're really committed to human rights, because I think that was something we believed in before going into the program. That was something that was really reaffirmed as we entered the program, and it's definitely where we're at this point, so that we can then, you know, look forward and hopefully have some change in the medical system. So thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank Evelyn. I thought that was a great presentation. There are a couple of things she didn't mention, maybe I'll throw in quickly, which is that it doesn't cost anything to go to Elam. That's part of the deal, is that the medical education is completely free. So when we talk about a dearth and a shortage of healthcare workers globally, but also even in this country, we talk about the Mississippi Delta and places in this country which have underserved communities, part of the way in which these students are able to be able to work in those communities when they finish their medical education is that they're not saddled with $150,000 worth of debt like many American medical students here in the States are. The other thing that maybe, and you'll know the exact numbers, I don't know the exact numbers, there were 8 American grads, but the Latin American School of Medicine, just to get a sense of scale, there are 14,000 medical students at the Latin American School of Medicine. So when you saw that little picture of the campus, it's actually huge. And there are students from, 40-something countries? 28. See, I knew I was going to get the numbers wrong. But right. So we have a few minutes for question and answer, if anyone has any questions for Evelyn.
Well, I think a lot of times when we talk about certain ideologies, we have a hard time kind of seeing an actual live visual model that you can follow. And when you have something that you can follow, it's kind of easier to see where things came in. Obviously, this is something that to really get into that kind of detail, I would need more time. But to give you an idea, I think what it is that when we talk about it in terms of medical education, I think it's just, you know, health, it could be public health, and really trying to think, this is a different country with different, you know, different system, and so it would be almost impossible for me to tell you that you can do this exactly the same way, step by step. But I think the important part of this presentation and what I wish everyone would take out of them is how some aspects of these particular points can then be useful in your setting. You know, if it's in a public health setting, if it's in a medical education program, if it's in a medical school, because there's people here from different backgrounds that, you know, may be able to use certain things from this or perhaps may not. I don't know if that kind of answers your question. Because, I mean, to follow the whole model would be, you know, kind of something very, you know, you would need much more time to kind of get it specifically into how they did it. And to be honest, I'm a student. I came out of the system, so I can tell you what has been done. But really, the Cubans are the ones that can really grasp how, you know, they actually build up the model. I mean, I don't know if that helps or not. Well, they are more socially conscious, but I think they're based. I mean, when we talk about rights-based or, you know, approach, you're talking about having people focus on activities and different things at all different levels that reflect the need of a particular community that you're coming from. So in this case, you know, I think the idea that Cuba is promoting is trying to look at how each one in your particular country, in your particular place where you're at, can kind of use some of these projects, some of these approaches to kind of review what are the needs in your area and then go back and kind of apply that. So I think part of it is a social system, but part of it is that they're focused in a thing where, you know, there's no pharmaceutical company trying to tell them, you know, give them this medication, do this, do the other. And so therefore what happens, that there's certain external pressures that don't exist that exist in other places. So I think part of it is their perspective, but part of it is their culture and their way of viewing things, because the fact that they send doctors to other places to provide health care for no real, you know, cost, I think says a lot about the kind of approach that they have, you know. And I mean, there are certain countries that perhaps view certain parts of it the same way, but not all. So I think picking into what kinds of things are helpful for you is what's most important.
She had a question too.
Yeah, and I'm glad she mentioned that, because to be honest, like, I literally take that for granted. Because it was 6 years and everything there was free, so you kind of forget that it, that for other people is shocking. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. And it's funny, when we had our state exam, we had a situation where there was one of the questions that asked about, you know, what kind of policy can be changed with tuberculosis. And one of the questions led to economic, you know, having like more economic resources. And everybody on that question was like completely confused, because we were like, wait a minute, this doesn't apply in Cuba. And then we had to like kind of think back and realize this was like a national, you know, medical examination that really wanted you to think globally. And so when it all occurred to us, and we realized that the answer depended of where you were at, you know. Was there anything particularly that, because I'm afraid I'm going to go over the 5 minutes here. I want to hear their discussions as well. Thank you.
We are going to have hopefully some more time at the very end for general questions and answers as well. I have asked that exact question myself when I've gone to Cuba, when I've met with medical students, you know, how do they teach you to care about human rights? How do they teach you that health is a right? How do they instill these values? And I think it's a very difficult question. It really is a value system. There's not a course on health and human rights within the medical education curriculum. It's a value that's instilled throughout. And so it's not, you know, here in the States we have patient-doctor relations. You have a course on that. How do you relate to your doctor? So it's really something that's incorporated throughout the curriculum and a very deeply complex question to answer. For those of you that are interested, I'll do a quick plug for Salud, the film that Evelyn mentioned quickly, which is a film about the global health worker crisis, and it talks about the Cuban medical system, and it also visits several other countries, the Gambia, visit Honduras, South America, South Africa, and the U.S. So that's Salud, and Medic has a booth in the expo hall where they're selling the film, or you can also visit the website saludthefilm.net.